I was saying to the folk up at Kirknewton that I was a wee bit worried when I saw the date of the pulpit exchange. It was the 7th of February. And I thought, at the time, it was arranged quite a while ago, and I thought, oh dear, there's potential for last-minute change of plans happening there. And I'm just glad that it wasn't a month ago that we had to crisscross the county in our cars. I mean, Andre is having to go from the easternmost end of the presbytery to the westernmost. In fact, he's away into Lanarkshire today to preach. So he has, I think, maybe the longest journey of all the ministers to do. And thank goodness it wasn't to be attempted while there was all that terrible snow on the ground. But you know, there's a good thing about the snow, and I've not come here to talk about the weather before you start worrying. We do that all the rest of the time, but I'm not going to really do it today. But there's a good thing about the snow was that it changed our world for a while. Now, I don't just mean it changed the appearance of the world, which it did, but it changed us for a while as well. Because when the snow was there, you found yourself doing different things. You found yourself out shoveling. That was the first different thing I found myself doing, trying to clear a space for my car to get in and out. And you found yourself working alongside neighbours as they too shoveled and tried to clear a space. And I found myself speaking to neighbours that I'd never met before. Now, it seems a bit strange, but I've lived in the house I'm in now for 13 months, and even through the summer, some of the neighbours I didn't really meet or get talking to, but during this past spell of bad weather, I've got to know quite a few of them, and we've passed the time of day, and we've shared jokes, and we've done all sorts of things, and it's been quite interesting from that point of view. It's also meant that I've not been rushing to get from here to there and all, because you know that there's no point, you just can't do it. So you have to redirect your energies into something perhaps more constructive, perhaps more helpful than saying, well, I've got to be at such a meeting tonight. And that's one thing we do really well in Livingston is meetings. We have lots of them, but quite a few had to be postponed at the beginning of the year, which was great. So it means it all has to be caught up on at some point, but That's another story. The snow just transformed the world that we live in for a wee while. It changed our perspectives on things. It changed our priorities. And I think, even for that little while that it happened, I think that was a good thing. There's always a blessing in things where we're seeing how awful it was, and goodness knows we might get it again, we never know. But where we're seeing how awful it was, but really, there was a good side to it as well, in that we did have to just rethink our priorities for a wee while. Today, our church lectionary reading is all about the call to the first disciples. Luke's version of that. And Mike read for us from Luke's Gospel about this time when Jesus came along to the shores of the Sea of Galilee, or as Luke calls it, Lake Gennesaret. Jesus comes along, it's fairly early in his ministry. Not vast numbers of people know about Jesus at this stage, although there is a little knowledge about him. He's a teacher and he's a preacher, and people have heard about him, but they don't know too much about him. And along he comes, and there's these men, these fishermen, have brought their boats in after a singularly unsuccessful night. Now, as Gordon very eloquently described how they must have felt, and some of the children, of course, also described how the fishermen must have felt that morning after they'd been out all night. Nets down, not a single fish to be had. Probably the most unsuccessful night of their lives. And they've come in, and they're fed up, and they're tired, and they're probably cold, and they're probably, as one of the children said, probably a bit grumpy as well. You know, it was a waste of time. And along comes Jesus, and he says, could you just put your boat out a wee bit? And he stands in one of the boats, and he teaches and he preaches to the people that have gathered there. And I don't know how you would have felt if you had been one of the fishermen. You probably just wanted to get home and get into bed and say, well, we'll just have to write that off as a waste of time last night and start again on the next trip and hope that we're more successful. And Jesus is there preaching from the boat. And then Jesus says, just put a little further out into the deeper water and put your nets down again. Oh, come on. You know, we've been all night trying to catch fish. There's nothing doing. Don't waste our time with this. Well, I'm just embellishing the story because Luke doesn't tell it like that. Luke tells it much more simply and much more urgently, if you like. Put your boat out further to the deep water and you and your partners let down your nets for a catch. Master, says Simon, we worked hard all night long and caught nothing. But if you say so, I will let down the nets. So out they go again. The nets are let down. And what happens? They have the biggest catch they have ever had. So great that the nets are bulging. When it's hauled into the boat is in danger of sinking with the weight of fish. Now, I mean, what an amazing transformation that must have been. Well, how would they feel then? This is absolutely fantastic. What had been the most unsuccessful fishing trip they'd ever had suddenly turned into the most successful fishing trip. They couldn't cope with all the fish that were there. And when they came back in, not as fishermen, but as disciples. Now, it wouldn't have been unreasonable for us to think that after what happened, that it would be the fishermen who were saying to Jesus, hey, why don't you come and join us? And you can be our partner in our business, and we will now run a very successful business, because if you can enable us to catch this number of fish, then we should be in partnership together. They didn't say that. They decided, and that, through that one incident, that they were going to follow Jesus. So when they put out with Jesus in the boat, they were fishermen. When they came back in, they were former fishermen, and they were now disciples. Something happened there that changed their lives, that changed their perspective, that changed their priorities. Something happened in that boat. Yes, they got the most successful catch of fish ever. But it must have been more than that. It must have been more than that. Otherwise, why would they suddenly decide that they were going to follow this preacher, teacher from Nazareth? Well, Luke doesn't really tell us. But it's clear that there must have been something. When Simon Peter saw what had happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. The power of Jesus, the presence of Jesus, was such that it was so awe-inspiring. There must have been something about Jesus that brought this out in people. And this is something that, you know, I have never been able to put my finger on. And I don't think, in fairness, anybody has ever been able to put their finger on. What was it about Jesus that brought that kind of response from people? What was it about? It kind of comes through in the Gospels a wee bit. But you know, I think you would really have to have been there. You would really have to have been in his presence. You would have to have listened to him. You would have had to have watched what he did. You'd have had to have been with him to fully understand his power and his presence. And we can only get a wee hint of this from the stories in the Gospels. Only the tiniest hint, but isn't it such a tantalizing hint? Because it was such that it made people change their lives. He changed people's lives. He changed their perspectives. He changed their priorities. He turned them around. Revelation. In Revelation, Jesus appears to John and says, the risen Jesus appears to John and says, "Behold, I make all things new." The renewing power of Christ was there at the very beginning of his ministry as he turned around the lives of those fishermen. And he can turn our lives around too. He says quite simply, "Follow me." The shortest but most stunningly powerful of commands. Follow me. And in following him, we do as the fishermen did. We take a step into the unknown. Because, being no doubt about it, this was a big, big risk for these fishermen. They were stepping away from the work that they had established, from the work that they knew, for the work that had, just within the last few minutes, had been very, very, very successful. They were walking away from that into the future with a man they'd scarcely knew. The man who had got into their boat had told them to put down their nets and had then said to them, "Follow me." They were stepping into the unknown. They were taking a leap of faith. But you know, in stepping into the unknown, they were also stepping out of the darkness of their lives as they were at the time into the light of Jesus' presence. They didn't know what lay ahead, but they knew that it was going to be exciting, that it was going to be good, that it was going to be worthwhile. And sure, there may have been times, well, we know there were times on their journey when they were a wee bit iffy, a wee bit nervous, when they didn't understand what Jesus had just said, when Jesus got annoyed with them and frustrated with them and said, "How are you ever going to understand what I'm telling you?" Yeah, they had these moments. But ultimately, it was very, very rewarding. Sometimes something happens that changes our life. Sometimes it's just a temporary change, as it was when the snow came. Sometimes it's a permanent change. You meet somebody. You go to a different job. Something happens in your life that forces a decision from you, that changes the direction you're going. We've all been there. We've all done that. We all understand what that means. But the most profound and rewarding change is when we respond to that simple command, "Follow me." For Simon Peter, for James and John, and if you read the other Gospels, for Andrew as well, their perspective on life changed from the day Jesus came to them at their work. From that day, they were able to see everything in a new and a different light. Jesus said, "Follow me. I will make you become fishers of men." So they left everything and followed him. That's what we read. They left everything and followed him. How easily would we do that? We had been one of those fishermen. Perhaps it would have been very easy for us, given the person who was giving the command. We can never know that. We can only imagine what it was like. But it must have been powerful. It must have been decisive. It must have been awe-inspiring. And it must have been full of promise and hope. for those fishermen. Their old life was gone. It was in the past. As Revelation also says, the former things have passed away. Behold, says Jesus, I make all things new. If you follow me, together, we can turn the world upside down. Well, certainly for those fishermen, following Jesus meant that things would never be the same again.